Only then did Ursula realize that he was in a world of shadows more impenetrable than hers, as unreachable and solitary as that of his great-grandfather. She left him in the room, but she succeeded in getting them to leave the padlock off, clean it every day, throw the chamber pots away except for one, and to keep José Arcadio II as clean and presentable as his great-grandfather had been during his long captivity under the chestnut tree. At first, Fernanda interpreted that bustle as an attack of senile madness, and it was difficult for her to suppress her exasperation. But about that time, José Arcadio told her that he planned to come to Macondo from Rome before taking his final vows, and the good news filled her with such enthusiasm that from morning to night she would be seen watering the flowers 4 times a day so that her son would not have a bad impression of the house. It was that same incentive which induced her to speed up her correspondence with the invisible doctors and to replace the pots of ferns and oregano and the begonias on the porch even before Ursula found out that they had been destroyed by Aureliano II's exterminating fury. Later on, she sold the silver service and bought ceramic dishes, pewter bowls and soup spoons, and alpaca tablecloths, and with them brought poverty to the cupboard that had been accustomed to India Company chinaware and Bohemian crystal. Ursula always tried to go a step beyond. "Open the windows and the doors," she shouted. "Cook some meat and fish. Buy the largest turtles around. Let strangers come and spread their mats in the corners and urinate in the rose bushes and sit down to eat as many times as they want and belch and rant and muddy everything with their boots and let them do whatever they want to us, because that's the only way to drive off ruin." But it was a vain illusion. She was too old then and living on borrowed time to repeat the miracle of the little candy animals, and none of her descendants had inherited her strength. The house stayed closed on Fernanda's orders. Aureliano II, who had taken his trunks back to the house of Petracotes, barely had enough means to see that the family did not starve to death. With the raffling of the mule, Petracotes and he bought some more animals with which they managed to set up a primitive lottery business. Aureliano II would go from house to house selling the tickets that he himself painted with colored ink to make them more attractive and convincing, and perhaps he did not realize that many people bought them out of gratitude, and most of them out of pity. Nevertheless, even the most pitying purchaser was getting a chance to win a pig for 20 cents, or a calf for 32, and they became so hopeful that on Tuesday nights, Petracotes's courtyard overflowed with people waiting for the moment when a child, picked at random, drew the winning number from a bag. It did not take long to become a weekly fair, for at dusk food and drink stands would be set up in the courtyard, and many of those who were favored would slaughter the animals they had won right there on the condition that someone else supply the liquor and music, so that without having wanted to, Aureliano II suddenly found himself playing the accordion again and participating in modest tourneys of veracity. Those humble replicas of the revelry of former times served to show Aureliano II himself how much his spirits had declined, and to what a degree his skill as a masterful carouser had dried up. He was a changed man. The 240 pounds that he had attained during the days when he had been challenged by the elephant had been reduced to 156. The glowing and bloated tortoise face had turned into that of an iguana, and he was always on the verge of boredom and fatigue. For Petracotes, however, he had never been a better man than at that time, perhaps because the pity that he inspired was mixed with love, and because of the feeling of solidarity that misery aroused in both of them. The broken-down bed ceased to be the scene of wild activities and was changed into an intimate refuge. Freed of the repetitious mirrors, which had been auctioned off to buy animals for the lottery, and from the lewd damasks and velvets, which the mule had eaten, they would stay up very late with the innocence of 2 sleepless grandparents, taking advantage of the time to draw up accounts and put away pennies which they formerly wasted just for the sake of it. Sometimes the cock's crow would find them piling and unpiling coins, taking a bit away from here to put there, so that this bunch would be enough to keep Fernanda happy and that would be for Amaranta Úrsula's shoes, and that other one for Santa Sofia de la Piedad, who had not had a new dress since the time of all the noise, and this to order the coffin if Úrsula died, and this for the coffee which was going up a cent a pound in price every 3 months, and this for the sugar which sweetened less every day, and this for the lumber which was still wet from the rains, and this other one for the paper and the colored ink to make tickets with, and what was left over to pay off the winner of the April calf, whose hide they had miraculously saved when it came down with a symptomatic carbuncle, just when all of the numbers in the raffle had already been sold.